Phil Hendry Show.
All right, they're on their way, okay?
Oh, my God.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
You're going to need a bar for beer.
$50,000 of public money going to another theater. Perverts put out Thundercrack.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news talk and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about. You can believe us or not, but I ain't going to lie to you. No, man. It's too much fun with the truth, like what's really happening, and that's what we do with on our show every night here until, like I said, 1 a.m. on the West and 4 a.m. on the East. And we broadcast from El Pacifico here each and every night, and we take your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. And we also are available online at philhendryshow.com, our live streaming video, live streaming audio, audio available on demand. You can download the shows the next day. The whole thing is just, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing, man. It's we're ready for framing. You can put us in water. We'll grow right there before your very eyes. And coming up this hour, we'll keep delving into the world's weird. Today has like been nothing but weird, man. From the the Nazis still making noises over there in Germany. Just throw them all in jail. That's what I say. All of them in jail. Hi, I'm a Nazi. Oh, you're a Nazi. Well, maybe you didn't get the news. But not only are you guys done, but you're against the law. Just calling yourself that is against the law. You understand? You're a criminal enterprise. What happened to that, by the way?
What happened to what?
To be a Nazi is against the law. Do you know that?
What are you talking about?
If you're in Germany and you call yourself a Nazi, you're technically breaking the law because the Nazi party was criminalized. In other words, it's a criminal enterprise. It's not a political party as you and I understand one. It's a criminal enterprise. Now, all you'd have to do is apply the same law here in the United States because we have precedent. You know, we know that they stuck people in ovens. We know that they, you know, murdered children. We know that they, you know what I'm saying. Like they had, like, Murder Incorporated over there in jackboots. So all you have to say is, I'm a Nazi. Really? Well, you're a member of an illegal organization, a criminal organization. As such, we can prosecute you. Are you still a Nazi? I think not. Very good. Now, why don't they do that over in Germany?
That's against the freedom of speech, man. You can't do that.
It ain't against the freedom of speech. Is it against freedom of speech to throw a cat in the mafia in jail?
No, yeah. No, that's not against the freedom of speech. The man in the mafia in jail because he is in the mafia.
Right. Well, if you're in the Nazi party, then it's against, you know, the law. Just like being in the mafia is against the law. It's a criminal enterprise. Do you get it? Do you understand?
Well, okay. What about, like, if the Boy Scouts were stealing from collection plates and stuff in a church, is that then their criminal enterprise?
Hey, bud, get out of here with your stupid questions, okay?
No, it's a good question. What if they did that?
That doesn't mean they're a criminal enterprise. It means they've got criminal members. To be a criminal enterprise, you have to say the following. Our organization is a criminal enterprise. You don't have to say that, but you say, okay, Bugsy, how much money did we make last week hijacking trucks for their cigarettes? Oh, we made this much. And did we get that money, that extortion racket? Yes. And how about the prostitution? And how about ripping off vending machines? That's criminal. And when you say that you're in the Nazi party, bang, you're in a criminal enterprise. So I don't know why the hell they don't just throw all those guys in the can and be done with it. Just let people know, if you want to wear funny-looking symbols, you want to wear jackboots, you want to walk around with a funny little Charlie Chaplin mustache and maybe a very tight loincloth, some kind of a new age goofball thing like that, that's cool. Do whatever you want to do. But you can't call yourself a Nazi because that's against the law. Against the law. And no fuss, no muss. And this bull crap about freedom of speech. We've had racketeering laws on the books now since the early 1970s. If you're in a criminal enterprise, and we can prove that it is a criminal enterprise, your ass goes to jail whether you did the deed or not. If you're a part of a criminal conspiracy, if you're part of a criminal organization, you're part of a criminal enterprise. Therefore, if somebody gets killed, anything happens, your ass is up for grabs. Thank you and good night. Now, I just have one more question I wanted to ask, and that is, we had a gentleman asking a question earlier that I thought was a good one. He said, how come my credit card got canceled? And they didn't tell me that it was going to be canceled. They didn't give me any reason why it was canceled. They didn't tell me on the phone why it was canceled. They said, wait for a letter, and you'll get a code, and then call this number. And it's almost as if you're getting, you know, instructions to a safe house or something. You know, like you just arrived, you're part of the Mossad hit team.
Call this number, then move over here, and then you'll get a credit card. Now, don't use it until we...
Who knows? So if anybody who is with a credit card company or a bank and can tell us, are you doing that? Or was that man suffering from postpartum depression? Is he ready to? I don't know. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Lie detector stunt. Police probe rape claim. This is why we are not going to do loon alerts anymore, because every other story is cuckoo. Now, you heard the one about the Nazis. We got Roseanne coming up. This is in Australia. This is a radio show, and these are some shock jocks, and oh, well. And they did a shock bit, but it was too shocking, and it's made international news. And the story goes like this. The police down there in Australia are investigating the alleged rape of a teenage girl who revealed her experience during a live stunt featuring a lie detector on commercial radio station Today FM yesterday. Not Today, that's the name of the station, it was yesterday.
Yeah, but they had a station like Two Yesterday FM, and it happened today.
Right. Never mind. Yes, right. But it ain't yesterday, it's today. Two Today FM yesterday. I don't know, man. That's the name of the radio station.
How come they call it kooky, man? Why don't they just tell like K-crap like we do here?
Because that's how they want to do it in Australia. I don't know. Shock jock Kyle Sandilands and his co-host Jackie O invited a mother to ask her 14-year-old daughter questions about her experience with sex and drugs while she was supposedly hooked up to a lie detector. The segment was cut short when the girl said she'd been raped when she was 12 years old. And this is a great example going along with how Detroit is run, how the radio industry is run, how the banking system has been run, how the newspaper business has been run, and all the other industries that are on their way out. This is a great example of people not planning, not preparing, not knowing what they're doing, just doing it because there's a race, ladies and gentlemen. There's an ever-increasing and ever-quickening race for the dollar, or in this case, the Australian dollar. And who cares if we're planning things and preparing them properly and making sure that things are going to come off? Let's just get this thing on the air. And she's 12, and she's admitting to a rape, and her mother is manipulating her beyond anything you would want to consider possible. And then these people are all, well, you know, we didn't know this was going to happen. So here it is, in a bit on radio shows, on this radio show hosted by Australian shock jock Kyle Sandilands and Jackie O, here's a mother asking her daughter if she's ever had sex, even though she knew that her daughter had been raped. Now, rape isn't sex, but don't you think the whole thing's a little touchy?
Okay, what's your next question, Mom?
Okay, have you had sex?
I've already told you the story of you. Don't look at me and smile because it's not funny. Oh, okay. I got raped when I was 12 years old.
Great.
Right. And is that the only experience you've had?
I only found out about that a couple of months ago. Yes, I knew about
and
that.
And yet you still ask me the question.
Have you had sex other than that?
I'm really sorry. We didn't actually know that was the case, and I think we might actually bought this segment. I had no idea that you've been through that, so I'm really sorry. And we'll just let you off the hook, I think. I think it's best not to continue.
All right, so here are these two shock jocks now apologizing and stumbling all over themselves because they had their heads up their ass before they even did the bit.
I'm really sorry. I had no idea that this had happened to you. I don't think we would have gone ahead with that had we known. Okay, honey, we'll just let you go for a while. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was...
Okay, Mum, sorry. Look, we needed to... that's something we should have probably...
A lot of dead air there, guys. A lot of dead air.
So, let's do that. Let's get you... If you guys haven't had any counselling or anyone to talk to about that, we're happy to pick up the bill for that. We've got them here. Do you want that, Mum?
Yeah.
Is that nice? And then he said, stay tuned for the...
Thundercrack.
...show, which is coming up next. All right, so then Linda Burney, the New South Wales Minister of Community Services, is appalled by the stunt.
Listening to that young girl and trying to imagine how she was feeling, how intimidated she would have been in that situation, was gut-wrenching. But I think the issue that is most disturbing is that they thought it was okay for a 14-year-old to be brought into that studio by her mother and be questioned about her sexual activities. And she was 14. This will travel with her forever.
Nasty.
Can you imagine? See, and this again is another thing that's kind of a theme on our show. This generation of parents, I don't know whether you're the Gen Xers and the Boomers. Now, the Gen Xers are now old enough. The Gen Xers are hitting their early 40s now. And so the last two generations of parents are about as clueless and offensive a group of people as I've ever been around in my life. I'm telling you,
We are sexualizing kids. We think it's funny to poke fun at the sexual habits of children. We even go so far as to try to legitimize using children in sexual imagery. And now here's mom on the Kyle and Jackie O show there down in, whatever the hell it is, Australia. A couple of people trying to make a living. I understand, because they got a program director breathing down their neck. He needs ratings. They need ratings. And they do this thing, and this child, she's been raped, and the mother knew it. And mommy wants to go on a show so she can win herself a copy of, a subscription to
Thundercrack
Weekly. Well, good luck, mom. Because we don't have any more subscriptions to
Thundercrack.
All we have is a subscription to
Perverts Put Out
Quarterly. I mean, to expose your child to something like that. And well, people say to me, well, Phil, haven't parents been acting that way? You know, this is one instance where I'm going to say, this is a new one, man. This is a new one. I mean, even parents who back in the day were alcoholic and maybe even drug addicted and possibly abusive in every other way, even they weren't so utterly without any scruple as to go public with their fascination with the sexual details of a child's life. This, I'm telling you, is a generational thing. These parents today, America, Australia, I don't give a damn where. They are a vile group, a vile and worthless group.
Well, it just about blows off everybody in audience area demographic core. Right about there.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mr., statistician consultant. All right, 877-876. I mean, I'm not indicting everybody, okay? I'm just saying that I'm just offended. I'm listening to some of these people. Well, what's so bad about showing a teenage girl, 16, with no top on? You know, she's laying on her stomach, you can't see anything, and she's making out with three different guys, and they're wearing underwear, and one guy's got his hand in his pants, and it's on a bus board, and it's driving down the street. What the hell's wrong with that, Phil? What, are you a prude or something? No, man, I ain't a prude. No, I'm not a prude. I never thought that one was a prude when one protested children being used that way. I didn't think that that was prudish. I thought that that was moral. You know, I thought it was something that was looking out for the well-being of kids. I didn't think it was prudish. Oh, well, you know. No, well, I don't know. Get a clue. All right, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, or not, as the case may be. Don't forget, we are on Twitter tonight, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Go over there and follow our... I haven't been on Twitter in years, man. I better get back over there and legitimize the whole thing. Facebook.com/PhilHenry. 877-876-PHIL. Phil is our number. The stimulus money being used for porn. We'll find out about that next in your phone calls on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's Thundercrack.
Phil Henry Show.
Now, don't forget, you can win cash and prizes if you answer tonight's question.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
So stick around for that. Now we have a phone call, and we've got the stimulus bill that is going to be funding porn. It's fantastic. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Here is Dana in New York City. Dana, what's on your mind tonight?
Calling about the credit card thing.
Oh, yeah, cool. The guy called up, and he said he had his credit card canceled with no notice. And he's got a great payment record, and he has got a great credit, and this and that. And he said he had no notice other than a letter that he would be receiving with a code for something he had to call. It all sounded very hush-hush and, MI6. So you know anything about that?
Well, barring that it's just a random computer glitch, the industry considers people that pay their bill, you know, in full every time a month, they're called deadbeats because they're not making any ancillary profit off the customer. My boss is considered a deadbeat, even though he spends, we spend a lot of money every month, but we pay the bill on time. So other than the merchant fees that they get from, the businesses that we do business with through the card, those rates themselves are already outrageous, but, because they're not getting late fees and interest and, because you're paying your bill on time every month, they're not making the kind of money that they're expecting to make you know, off a customer. You know, the idea of a credit card, as far as the industry is concerned, is you're supposed to max it out and then you pay it off over 12, 18 months, and they make interest off of that.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's what we were speculating during the break, because I've got a friend in the credit card business, and Rance was talking to me about that. If they're not making any money, if you've got a really low interest rate and you're paying your balance down every month, they're not making any money, though. They don't want your business, but they will just cancel you outright without even giving you notice. Is that what's done?
Well, probably what they'll do is that they'll give him a new card with a higher interest rate. Basically, they're trying to stack the deck even further against him in case something happens where that puts them into an advantageous situation.
So they canceled his card, and they're going to give him another card. I wonder where they would just cancel it like that, though. The guy's going to walk into a store; he wants to use it. It sounds
the industry's been in a free fall since last fall.
Right.
And that's been, one business credit card, the limit got lowered for no reason.
I hear you.
The limit got lowered.
I hear you, man. That's pretty much. Yeah, I appreciate you calling, man. That's pretty much what we were thinking. But I'm very happy that you called and verified that. So, thank you, Dana. I hung up on him, and I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. But he wanted to make another point. I'm sorry about that, sir. But we were talking, and it is true, and it makes me worried because I pay my money down every month. I know that they're not making any money on me, but do you blame me for not letting you make all that much money on me? Come on. I mean, I use it. There are some months where I'm way up there and some months like where I ain't. And I know I've got more than 1%. I know I've got a pretty significant credit card interest rate. But I do pay that thing down, man. I ain't carrying no balance, no how, man. I don't carry nothing for it. I don't pay nothing for it. See what I'm saying?
So you're not paying it forward. That's bad.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Pay it forward. 877-876-PHIL. I never did figure out what that means. Let's go over to a phone call here. We have Patrick in Glendale, Arizona. Patrick, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Nothing much. I love you guys' show. I listen to it every night. You guys are the all-stars of radio.
Oh, well, thank you. How do you like that, bud?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I got an email on that every other day, too.
What's on your mind tonight, sir?
I have a few concerns about President Obama sticking his nose where it shouldn't be, especially when it comes to our democratic, our democracy, the process. Like, he didn't get the full details on what exactly happened with that so-called break-in with, his
That's
friend.
True. That's
and
correct.
The thing that troubles me is that if one of his friends in the future gets in trouble, that they're automatically going to get pardoned. We have that here in Arizona.
Where'd you hear that? How are you getting from that from point A to point Z so fast?
No, I'm just
gonna get pardoned.
I'm just concerned if it gets to that point because this happened.
Well, you know that presidents do pardon people. You know, President Bush has pardoned people, and Clinton. You know, all of that pardon stuff, and Ford pardoned Nixon. Huh?
Our former governor, Fife Symington.
A lot of cats get pardoned, right?
Oh yeah.
So it's not like if Obama pardons somebody, it won't be a precedent setting thing. And if he pardons a friend of his, it won't be precedent setting.
Exactly. My other concern I have is that that radio show bit.
So what?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, all right. Go, man. Go.
Okay. Anyways. I think they took a page out of the Law & Order Special Victims Unit episode that I watched recently.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
One of the episodes was about a teenager. One episode was about being brutally, raped. And then the other one was, how many people I can sleep with in one night. It was based on a true story. And you would think people would not duplicate this in real life. It's like one of those life lessons.
Oh, no, that happens all the time. It generally happens the other way, where TV rips off radio. But ripping off material, that's half of these cats wouldn't be employed if they didn't do it, number one. Number two, though, that's not really the point. The point is that it was in an effort to show that they're, quote, shock jock, whatever that means anymore, they it wasn't funny. It wasn't entertaining. It embarrassed him. Thanks for your call, sir. Back with the stimulus bill and porn.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast here from El Pacifico, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that tries to explain much of what we, you know, see and hear and deal with and smell each day. You know it as well as I do, the stories, the faces, the names, the 8 million stories in the Naked City. And
what?
It's an old TV show. Anyway, 877-876 is the number to reach us here on the radio show. You can also comment via Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry. I haven't been over there, and I haven't retweeted in a long time. If you don't know what retweeting is, consider yourself lucky. And I apologize to those of you who have been over at Twitter, but it's just it's like there's been a lot of stuff going on. At Facebook, we're over there too, facebook.com/philhendry. And the reason why I'm saying all of that is because Rick Sanchez, who I admire greatly for his, you know, all of the Twitter accounts and everything that he has, you know, and all the Facebook accounts.
Yeah, he's also on MySpace, too.
Yeah, MySpace is a meat market, though, man. Probably over there trying to find a woman.
I'm going to give Rick a run for his money. Like Larry King was trying to catch up to Ashton Kutcher, I'm going to run Rick Sanchez into the ground with hounds, guys with straw hats and shotguns, and Rick Sanchez barefoot running through the swamp. I'm kidding around.
Oh, man.
Thought that was funny, huh, bud?
That's pretty funny.
I'm sure I'm running Rick Sanchez into the ground in a swamp. Sorry, Rick, I'm fooling around with you, man. Good guy. All right. We got a story here that's kind of interesting. I don't know what you think about this. It's another thing to get outraged about, you know. See, I think there are a lot of things to get upset about, like that woman who put her daughter on a radio show, okay. I think the Nazi party in Germany, okay. I think Roseanne trying to be shocking and not funny, which she's been quite a bit lately. In fact, ever since her show went off the air, shocking and not funny, that's Roseanne. And she's got herself dressed in a Hitler costume. Don't you wonder, how is it that you could have had such a successful show, Roseanne, and you don't know a thing about making people laugh anymore? What is funny about that? And I know what you're going to say to me. I don't know. Why am I making money? They don't think it's funny. You're bullcrapping me. But here's one that I can't get too crazy about. I can get crazy about it because it does bother me, you know. But what do we expect when we have something called a National Endowment for the Arts, you know? Are we going to get into what's art and what ain't? Otherwise, screw it, man. Why even have it? I don't like some of the stuff they're doing. The National Endowment for the Arts may be spending some of the money it received from the Recovery and Reinvestment Act. See, the first mistake is they never should have gotten any of this bread, man. If the stimulus money was there to put people to work and to make sure that we have an economy that's fundamentally rolling again, I don't think that the arts, excuse me for saying this, I just don't think it's number one or two on the list of 553 million things that we got to do, you know. Call me crazy. I know, yes, it puts artists to work. And I know that the same thing was done during the Depression. And I understand that to great effect, a great many people were made to feel very useful. I think some things can evolve over time. I don't think that we're in the middle of the Great Depression. I think we're in the middle of maybe the great sort of moderate depression. I know what we're in the middle of, the Great Recession. And the NEA getting $80 million. Okay, fine. So they got $80 million. Now it turns out that some of the stuff they're funding is allegedly a pervert review, a Saturday night pervert review, and the airing of pornographic horror films at art houses in San Francisco. Huh?
I didn't even know there's such a thing.
Neither did I. Pornographic horror films? What part are you supposed to concentrate on? Or is it all scary and it's scary and it gets you hot? Is that? Never heard of such a thing. It's got to be some sort of a joke. Anyway, the NEA's grants are spicing up more than the economy. A few of their more risque choices have some taxpayer advocates hot under the collar, including a $50,000 infusion for the Frameline Film House, which recently screened, a film that you've probably heard of.
Thundercrack.
That's right. The world's only underground kinky art porno horror film, complete with four men, three women, and a gorilla. When you spend so much money in a short amount of time, you're going to have nonsense like this, and that's why the stimulus should never have been been done in the first place to David Williams, Vice President for Policy at Citizens Against Government Waste. I think it depends on what you think is wasteful, number one. I think it depends on, after you figure out what is wasteful, what you want to spend the money on. It all gets down to, should there be a thing called the National Endowment for the Arts? Some people think that the arts means Chopin, Mozart, Gone with the Wind, what the hell is that? Birth of a Nation, The Great Dictator, Charlie Chaplin, classics, right? And let's make stuff like that. Well, art doesn't stay the same. It changes. And there's an awful lot that is very controversial about art. And the fact that we're in the business of supporting the arts, it was originally so that we would have a class of artists in this country that were continually churning out things that would be great. Now, you can ask yourself the question. I ask myself the question as well. Is America producing great art?
Well, we have, I don't know. Yeah, I don't either.
Some of our movies are really great, and there are a lot of artists. I don't know how many of those cats come under the heading of National Endowment for the Arts. You know, if we come out with a great film, No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood. Those are two movies that come to mind that I consider to be great efforts, you know.
No Country for Old Men is the dumbest movie that had ever been made. You even said so.
No, I did not say so. No, I did not.
Yeah, you did. You said you didn't even get it.
I didn't get it. That doesn't mean I didn't like it.
Man, you sat there and said you thought it sucked. You said it sucked on wheels.
I didn't say it sucked on wheels. I just thought it kind of weird. Anyway, here is Fox News' Megyn Kelly. Now, why we're going to her, well, let's find out. Probably because Jason thinks she's hot, and she was talking about this, and she was outraged, and all that other stuff. And she explains one project getting funding from the NEA and the stimulus thing.
$50,000 of public money going to another theater that promises this movie called Thundercrack.
What is that?
Thundercrack. It is so offensive, we could barely find anything in the trailer that was suitable to put on TV, and we definitely cannot air the audio, which is not anywhere near close to PG-13. But this is how they describe it. Kinky art porno horror film.
Porno.
Complete with four men, three women, and a gorilla. Ecstasy so great that all heaven and hell becomes just one big ol' Shangri-La.
Yeah?
You're paying for it, folks.
Well, we do have a clip from the film. I don't know whether or not you
I hope you hit a whale on your way to France.
But that's the only thing. Then we have an excerpt from the trailer for the movie Thundercrack.
The year's biggest picture. So big in scope. So massive an emotional impact that you'll thrill to every buttock-numbing hour.
Always long.
Buttock-numbing.
Come with us into a galaxy of whirling degradation, the world of Thundercrack.
That's the drop we should have used. Thundercrack! And then later the trailer says,
I want Tony Snow's cancer to come back so he dies.
Right, here is Representative Cliff Stearns. He's a Republican from Florida. He slams the National Endowment for the Arts, slams them for funding porn with taxpayer dollars.
They have a long history of offense.
All right, that's enough of that. No, here it is. Sorry.
They have a long history of offensive, indecent art. We were successful in cutting back their funding, but now under the Democrat majority, that funding has increased dramatically. It's up to $190 million. And for them to get a $50 million grant through the stimulus package and use this for hundreds and hundreds of earmarks for the not-for-profit organization, particularly in San Francisco, where that offensive and indecent art is being displayed both in public houses, in live performances, as well as in movies. These aren't just kinky movies. These are horror movies involving animals and the reprehensibleness of the National Endowment for Arts for doing this cannot even be emphasized strong enough.
You know what bothers me? Cliff did the trailer.
The year's biggest picture.
See, he did the trailer, and then he comes out and he doesn't dig it. I think that's very,
hypocritical.
Right. My thing is this. I understand that during the Depression, going back to that, that they did have funding for artist guilds. There was a lot of unemployment. They wanted to put everybody back to work, and the President and Congress got together and said, how can we get every facet of society involved in this recovery? And they did have these projects. If you saw the film, Jackson Pollock, who's a great artist, was a recipient of work from the government during that time. But that was a really, really distressed time. And certainly the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, has existed even in flush and flourishing times. And why? I see, See, that's where a lot of people say, I thought you were an Obama fan. Now you sound like a conservative. No, man, I'm just trying to, what makes sense? You know, do we really need an NEA right now? No, we don't. Do artists, have they chosen a line of work that is not the most lucrative? Yes, they have. Is it a tough line of work? Is it a struggle? And once you reach the top, are you handsomely rewarded? Yes, you are, but it's not like any other job there is. It's a very tough, tough way to make a living if you're just kind of in the low income to moderate income level as an artist. I saw an artist in West Hollywood, and I can't even remember her name, and it's a good thing, because if I said her name, she'd be offended. She was a performance artist, and we went and saw her in West Hollywood at a theater. It was asinine, man. It was just asinine. It was an asinine performance art thing, and she had gotten her original name by way of the National Endowment for the Arts. In fact, people were pissed off that she was getting money because her stuff sucked so bad. All she did was walk out on stage, yell,
"Thundercrack,"
and then go off stage, and that was the end of the show. No, she did other stuff.
Well, what'd she do?
Well, like in one scene, I swear to God, this is what she did. She got nude and rolled around in honey.
Are you kidding me? That'd be bitching to see.
You can go into a strip bar and watch that, man.
No, you can't. It was bottomless, too?
I ain't going to tell you, because you're just going to go, "Ew."
No, come on, man. Was it bottomless or not?
I ain't telling either one of you guys. She stripped nude. She rolled around in honey. She came up into the audience and sucked on one of the audience members' toes. She sat in some guy's lap.
Did she look good nude, or was she hanky?
I will not comment on those things. Do you understand?
Sorry.
Hanky. And so, you know, all right, let's go to a phone call. I'll tell you more about it. 877-876-PHIL, if I can, you know, keep my food down at the same time. Here is Robert in Phoenix. Robert, what's going on tonight? What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to comment. You had mentioned about making Nazis illegal. I believe you said in Germany, which I'm not too sure about German laws, but here in the United States, that would be a status offense, and unfortunately, we can't make that a crime itself. Otherwise, we could apply the same thing to gangbangers and get them off the streets, too. Unfortunately,
well, you can apply the same thing to gangbangers if you find out that they're part of a criminal enterprise. Yes, well, you can.
That's the problem. Being associated as a gang member doesn't make you a criminal. You actually have to be involved in the crimes.
No, you don't. If you can establish that that person is a member of a criminal enterprise, they're indictable if crimes are committed by that enterprise.
By a gang or a party?
That's what the RICO statute was about, racketeer influence corrupt organization. That's how they brought the mafia down. The mafia boss didn't have to pull the trigger because he was the head of a criminal enterprise. That is an organization whose purpose is to break the law. An organization whose purpose is to break the law. That is a criminal enterprise, and its membership is subject to indictment. The same thing goes with that's why they were not able, for instance, to break up the Hell's Angels. The Hell's Angels are not a criminal enterprise. They have felons who are members, but they could not prove that the Hell's Angels are an organization dedicated to breaking the law. They're a motorcycle club with a lot of rough characters, but they're not a criminal enterprise. The gangs, however, if you can find, if you, for instance, a wiretap, if you have transcripts, if you have eyewitness testimony, something that says crimes were planned by the leadership of this group, and the members at the behest of the leadership were encouraged to go out and commit crimes, that's a criminal enterprise. The Nazi Party was a criminal enterprise as so ruled by the Nuremberg courts, because there was no purpose for the Nazi Party to exist other than to break German law and international law.
My point is that you're not making being a Nazi or a gangbanger the crime. You are arresting them for
membership in a criminal enterprise. Membership in a criminal organization. Criminal organization. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, you're good night.
877-8, you too, man. 877-876-PHIL. That's why when the war ended, the first thing they did is they rounded up every member of the SS. Because they knew full well the SS only existed as a criminal organization, to wit, to murder people, murdering people, taking people hostage, putting people out of their homes. And then as they gathered evidence, they recognized that the Nazi Party itself was simply this overarching criminal effort. So why would you why would you even allow people like that to exist if their purpose? And that's why you've noticed the Ku Klux Klan these days, they keep their mouths shut about committing crimes. They used to encourage violence. They used to talk openly about planting bombs. That's what brought them down. Aha! You guys are engaged in criminal activity as an organization. Where'd you get that idea? We got that idea. We got you guys on wiretaps talking about planting bombs. Your organization is a criminal effort. You're not some political party. You're not an advocacy group. You're not a religious organization. You're not a tea party. You're not a coffee klatch. You're a criminal group. And so nowadays, if you hear the Klan talking publicly, they don't talk about we're going to go out and plant bombs. They talk about free speech this and immigration that. They keep it real cute and they keep it real on the down low, because they know if they open their yaps about encouraging criminal effort and criminal activities on the part of their members, they're going to go to jail. It's as simple as that. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So good to be with you this evening. Your call's ahead, and a study says that organic food is not good for you. Thank God. Thank God. What is organic food, anyway?
Stuff that grows in the ground.
Stuff that grows in the ground ain't good for you. We'll figure that one out when we come back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You know, today I was on the phone with Jessica from MetaFast, and we hook up by phone every, few weeks. She wants to know. Jessica's the nutritionist there at the dietitian there at MetaFast, and you want some information on what I'm going to be talking to you about here in the next 60 seconds. I want you to go to MetaFastPhil.com, MetaFastPhil.com, because I'm on the MetaFast diet. And as I said, I was talking to Jessica, and she gives me pointers on what I can do and maybe do better to drop the weight even faster than I have. And what I have dropped is around 10, 12 pounds in the last 6 weeks, which is good. I'm down to around 235 now. My goal weight is going to be now in the neighborhood of 215, 220. But I think I can keep on losing the weight forever, man.
Well, not forever. You'll be down to like 2 pounds.
Well, I'm not going to go down to 2 pounds, but you know what I'm saying, man. I'm going to continue with MetaFast, because here's the great thing about MetaFast. Five meals a day, four of them, you can choose those meals from a variety of offerings from the people at MetaFast. Nourishing meals, delicious meals, low-fat, protein, fiber meals, fortified with vitamins and nutrients, so you lose pounds and you lose inches without losing out on essential nutrition, and they're delicious. And there are over 70 different meal options. And then at night, you have your lean and green meal, which may be like in my case, a steak and maybe some asparagus or broccoli. But the rest of the day, you're enjoying these MetaFast meals. And I'm talking about Maryland crab cakes, guys. I'm talking about cream of broccoli soup. I'm talking about chili. I'm talking about these delicious Dutch chocolate shakes, vanilla shakes, satisfying bars. I got a whole box today of pretzels, believe it or not, mustard-flavored pretzels. I mean, snack items. All of these things will help you lose weight faster than you could possibly believe. And MetaFast is outstanding because it's recommended by literally more than 15,000 doctors since 1980. You lose weight quickly, up to 20 pounds a month. So, and you'll learn to eat healthier. So check it out, MetaFastPhil.com. That's MetaFastPhil.com. I'm going to spell it out for you, MEDIFAST, Phil, PHIL, .com. And don't say, how do you spell dot, okay?
Well, you spelled it for me.
Yeah, I had to spell D-O-T for bud.
Well, you're spelling everything else out. Why didn't you logically do the other one, too?
Because I didn't think I had to spell dot, okay? That's why I'm logically spelling it out. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just a couple of things before we go into our top-of-the-hour break. And coming up next hour, of course, we'll continue more of your calls, and the organic foods are not healthy for you. Let's go over here to, is this guy's name Corinthian? Yes, it is. Or Corinthian, or I don't know.
Corinthian.
Hi, Corinthian in Chattanooga. Yes. How you doing, Corinthian?
Not too bad. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. You're named after a book in the Bible.
Yes, I am.
You're named after a group of people that Paul wrote letters to.
Oh, yeah, I've heard all about it.
And you know what else? I've been talking so much that I can't take your phone call because I only have 30 seconds left. So you know what you're going to do? Just hang on, man. Hang on, because I'm going to take your phone call just as soon as we, I don't know.
Well, yeah, get to it faster.
Get to it faster, man. I'm talking to you about spelling dot.
I told you I know how to spell it.
Yeah, how do you spell it?
Oh, okay, trick question.
That's it, bud. It's a trick question. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Roseanne dresses up as Adolf Hitler and the world according to on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.